Hello and welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport in the Kendall area. I want to invite you now to join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he dynamically shares another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Turning your Bibles with me, we're going to look at a couple of references. We're not going to read the whole passage because we read it last week, because today is a continuation of the talk we started last week on one of the most critical, if not the most critical, issue that you will ever face. And, of course, I am talking about the issue of forgiveness. No other issue brings so much. This one conversation in particular where he had with his disciples, prompted by a question that Peter asked, and it had to do with the subject of forgiveness. Somebody hurt you. You didn't deserve it. People that have offended you, and you wish somehow that you could erase the memory, but you find yourself incapable of erasing the memory. In many cases, you were innocent. In many cases, you were offended maybe as a child. Or maybe you were kind of sucker punched, not literally, but figuratively. Okay, something you didn't expect, but now you're left to deal with the residual effects of it. And because we're human, and because we live in a broken planet filled with broken people and broken relationships, forgiveness is going to be something that we all struggle with. And it's an issue that Jesus taught us is directly tied in with our relationship with the Father. In fact, there's a reference in that passage of Matthew 18, verse 21, verse 35. There's an issue that connects forgiveness with our forgiveness from God. If you forgive men their sins, Jesus said, then my heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive fellow man their sins, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Those are tough words. And we can't reason those words away. They mean exactly what Jesus suggested that they mean. So that means that for me, I have been left with the task of forgiving because I myself want to be forgiven. Now, Jesus told a story about the servant that was unmerciful. And in telling the story, what he did is he communicated to us how absurd it is to want God to forgive you, while at the same time, you're not willing to forgive people that have hurt you. Jesus said it's absurd. It's ludicrous. It's the ultimate form of hypocrisy. Jesus, I want your forgiveness, but I don't want to forgive this joker standing next to me. Right? So he teaches us the absurdity of it, and he teaches us the very important point that if you want to receive forgiveness, you have to also be willing to extend forgiveness. Now, what happens when we don't extend forgiveness is that we begin to build up resentment. Hurt turns into resentment, and when you hold on to that resentment, it turns into hate, right? And understand it, because this is true, this is one of the primary weapons that Satan uses against believers to keep you bound, to keep you in bondage. I'm convinced that it's the greatest success that Satan has had you know, against the church is to keep us in a state of unforgiveness, where there are people that have offended us that we have not forgiven, that we still hold on to the resentment and the bitterness and the hostility. And so if he can keep you from not forgiving, then he can affect your relationship with the Father. He can affect your relationship with the church because you no longer want to deal with true fellowship because you know that you're not walking the way that you need to walk. Okay, and he could keep you in a condition where you are worldly minded. Think about it for a moment. How is it that the world deals with the subject of forgiveness? Well, they don't. For them, when somebody hurts you, the solution is you hurt them back, right? You get even. Right? Or you badmouth them, or you talk about the pain it's caused you, or you ignore them, or you know, that's the way the world tells us to deal with hurts, but that's not the way Christ tells us to deal with hurts. The reason why when you and I look around and we see people that have become cynical and they become sarcastic and they become venomous and they become in many cases dysfunctional and they become, they're having fun back there, aren't they? And somebody's screaming back there. And they become hateful and they become spiteful. All these things are causes of people not forgiving. So today I want to talk to you and I want to give you the second part of this message because the good news is, number one, that you can forgive. Now, don't confuse your ability to forgive with your willingness to forgive. They're not the same. A lot of people will say, I just can't forgive. No. You can forgive because the Bible tells you to do so. And it would be just completely unreasonable for God to ask you to do something that you cannot do. The better answer would be not that you can't forgive, but I choose not to forgive. I am unwilling to forgive. That places many of us are placed in that category. Not that we cannot, but rather that we choose not to. And that's unfortunate because ultimately at the end, the one that pays the dearest price is you and your family for the bitterness that you continue to harbor, right? Now, Peter in Matthew 18, he asked the Lord a very important question, a question that we all want to know the answer to. He asked the Lord, Lord, what's the limit of my forgiveness? In other words, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive somebody when they hurt me? That's a good question. We all want to know the limits. How many times do I have to forgive my wife? How many times should I forgive my son? How many times do I forgive my boss? How many times do I forgive my next door neighbor? How many? We want to know. We want to give us a number. I can work with a number. But to just leave it without me really knowing, and that's yet exactly what Jesus does. He gives Peter a number. He says, not seven. Dude, it's not seven. It's 70 times seven. But notice the answer. The answer is not a numeric value. Jesus is not saying, okay, 70 times seven, do the math, 490. If you're counting, I assure you, you haven't forgiven. Right? So what he's given him a number, but the number represents a limitless. It's a limitless number. You continue to forgive. Forgiveness has to be continual. Forgiveness has to be with no end, right? It's an indefinite. He's saying that it's an indefinite amount. And then, so what does he do? He shares a story. If you didn't read it already, then you need to read it. Maybe not now, but later on. It's found in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. He tells a story of a king, right? And the story that the king forgave this guy enormous debt. In fact, the Bible says right there that it was millions of dollars. And what it means by millions of dollars, since there was no real number for millions, what that really meant was that there was an insurmountable number, a number that we couldn't count, which basically means that if we couldn't count it, it was a number that was unlikely ever to be paid back. That was so much. But yet, when the servant asked the king to have pity on him, the king did exactly that. It says he had pity on him and he canceled his debt. Wow. Praise God. Imagine all your debt was canceled today. Oh, you see, you already feel joyful now. Just thinking about it. Just thinking about it makes you happy, right? So imagine a guy that had millions of dollars of debt. All of a sudden, that debt was canceled. And now you think he's out there skipping and he's happy. Yeah, he's happy, but he's not completely aware of what took place because he finds a guy that owed him a few bucks, $1,000, a couple thousand dollars. And so what does he do? He grabs the guy by the neck. He says, "You got to pay me." The guy said to him the same thing he said to the king. He says, "I don't have it right now, but I'll pay you. Give me some more time." But the unmerciful servant that was forgiven so much, you know what he did? He had the guy thrown in jail. And then when the king, the word got to the king, he brings that unmerciful servant back to him, the guy that was forgiven millions. And he said, you know what he called him? He called him an evil servant in verse 32. Okay? Evil. "You evil servant," verse 32, "I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? You were forgiven millions, and yet you won't forgive this other guy something far, far less." Okay, it says, "And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt." Listen to what he calls the man. He doesn't call him, "Oh, you poor ignorant guy." He calls him an evil servant. Why? Because think about this. Think about it for a moment. To not forgive when you've been forgiven so much is to be on the same level as a merciless evildoer that's vindictive and vengeful. That's why he calls him evil. You were forgiven, but you're not willing to extend that same level of forgiveness. That's just plain evil. Somebody say evil. Yeah, it's evil to do that. That's why he called him an evil servant. And it's an amazing story that Jesus teaches about the hypocrisy and the absurdity of not forgiving when we ourselves have been forgiven such a great deal of things. God, I want you to forgive me, but I don't want to forgive the people that have hurt me. I'll forgive everybody, but there's one person, he can't be forgiven. I'll forgive everyone, but, you know, my ex-wife, no, I can't let her off the hook that easy. And so we go through this, but listen to what he closes the story with in verse 35. He says, "This king did what my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. You will be imprisoned. Your relationship with the Father will be affected when you choose not to forgive." Now, I started thinking as we were kind of going through this little study, I started thinking, well, what are the reasons that preclude us, that prevent us from forgiving? I think there's a few reasons. I think one of them is we do it just out of human nature, because human nature is very much into creating a self-defense mechanism. We're into self-preservation. Right? So what happens is that when we suffer hurts, okay, in order to prevent further hurts, we insulate. We isolate, right? We keep ourselves from the very people that have hurt us, but not just the ones that have hurt us. All of a sudden, we become hardened, and it affects our relationships around us. So sometimes we don't forgive. Why? We don't forgive because we want to preserve ourselves. It's a natural response. I'm not saying it's a proper response. In fact, Jesus said it's not a proper response, but it's probably something that most of us at some time or other have done. We do it, why? We do it as a kind of a self-defense mechanism, because forgiveness requires vulnerability, okay? We want to avoid that vulnerability, and we want to protect ourselves. Now, the other reason why I think that it's hard to forgive is because we live in a world that the word forgiveness does not really exist in their vocabulary. Okay? The world doesn't tell you to forgive. In fact, the world looks at Christians as weak because we forgive. Because we let people off the hook. And so because the world has this idea that people that forgive are weak because they think it's better to get even, then because we have that in our minds, sometimes we don't forgive because we're worried about what other people will think. What will they think if I forgive my wife for being unfaithful? What will they think if I forgive this person that ripped me off? What will they think if all of a sudden I forgive someone that caused me such shame and such pain? And because you are connected with what the world thinks, sometimes that idea of other people's reception, perception, we don't want them to think of us as some walking, some floor mat. You know what, or some pushover, or someone that's weak-willed or weak-spined. And so, no, I'm going to keep a tough front. I'm not going to forgive them. And so that's another reason why I think it's hard to forgive, because our world does not encourage forgiveness. Another reason I think it's hard to forgive is because of pride. Say pride with me. Pride. Here's how pride affects us. It affects us from the standpoint that we think that we are incapable of doing similar things. I would never have done that. Well, maybe you wouldn't have done that precise thing exactly, but you've done plenty of other things. Don't look at me like that. You know you're guilty, as I am too. Right? So you might. So pride has this attitude of superiority, this elitist mentality that says, I would never have stooped so low to betray you that way. I would never have done that to hurt you in that fashion. But think for a moment. Think for a moment that if God were to lift his grace from you for a moment, you and I would be capable of some pretty bad stuff. In fact, some of you are surprised that you did some pretty bad stuff. Don't raise your hand, but you know you're out there. Okay, right? So think about it for a moment. Even, let's say you never committed some heinous, atrocious act, okay, you still need to forgive. You know why? Because you still need forgiveness. Maybe it wasn't something on par with what Hitler did, or it wasn't something on par with homicide or things that we call the big sins, right? But listen, we did a lot of things to offend God. We rejected Christ. We've lied to one another. We've committed adultery in our hearts. Okay, we've coveted other people's goods. We've used God's name in vain. Okay, we've set up idols for ourselves. We've broken probably every single one of the Ten Commandments. Right? And yet we look with this air of arrogance. Yeah, but I've broken the commandments, but I wasn't as bad as you. Okay, so you didn't pull the trigger, but you have hate in your heart. And Jesus said, if you have hate in your heart, okay, you're guilty of murder already. Ooh. So it's that component of pride that we think we're incapable, that we think that we're better, that sometimes prevents us from extending forgiveness. Here's the other reason why I think that it's hard to forgive. I think it's hard to forgive because we don't realize that it's necessary to forgive in order to be free. I think it's hard to forgive because we don't understand the consequences of not forgiving, that the one that's going to suffer the most is a person not that's been offended, okay, but the person that holds on to that offense. And I think sometimes we don't forgive because we just don't know how. If you don't know how, you've come to a good place, because I'm going to show you how towards the end of our message today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So think with me for a moment about the word forgive. Forgive literally means to release. That's the literal interpretation, release. That word is loaded with meaning. And the reason it's loaded with meaning is because you can only release something that you have. You can only let go of something that's still part of you. Okay? You can only release something that's connected to you. So the act of forgiving, the act of releasing, is letting go of something that's still connected to you. So the word is very telling, at least from that standpoint, right? And so when you do not forgive, then you remain connected to the person that hurt you. So in other words, the very thing you don't want is the very thing that you continue to do by not forgiving. I was hurt. They did some atrocious things. I don't want to think about them. I don't want to be related to them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I want them to be away from me. But as long as that attitude has an attitude of unforgiveness, you want them away from you, but they're still connected to you because you haven't released them. Because you can only release things that actually possess you, or things that you have, still in your heart. That's why we say that unforgiveness is robbery. And it's robbery from this standpoint. Somebody hurts you, you've been robbed. They were perhaps used by the devil to bring you pain, to bring you shame, to bring you condemnation. Okay, but what happens is that if you don't forgive, then you'll continue to be robbed. Think of it this way. Suppose that you were in your house tonight and you're asleep, and all of a sudden a thief comes in and they break into your house without you knowing, and that you are snoring like a baby. Okay, you're out cold. But that guy, while you're out cold, that guy's cleaning you out. He's taking your laptop from you. He's taking your DVD player. He's taking a TV set. Okay, he found his handful. He found a watch that was up on your dresser. Okay, he found a few other items, and he took those things with him. So now you wake up in the morning, you say, man, I've been robbed. Would you be ticked off? Oh, yeah. I'd be mad, okay? So I'd be angry, I'd be upset, I'd be fearful. The next day I'd go to sleep, but let's say all of a sudden in the next night I'm sleeping and I'm still snoring, and the knock comes at the door, 3 a.m. Who's that at the door? It's the thief. Hello, sir? Yes, can I help you? Yeah, I'm the guy that robbed you yesterday, and I want to know if I can rob you again. And you basically like, you know, I'm tired. Yeah, go ahead. Let me go back to bed. And so now he comes. So now you go back to bed, and now he cleans you out of the other things because he saw all the things he couldn't get. So now he took your wallet with your credit card. Then he took your jewelry. Okay, he takes your jewelry. He takes your microwave oven. Now he really wipes you out because you gave him permission. And so you think about it. You think how ludicrous that example is. But see, that's exactly what happens when you choose not to forgive. See, the first time around, you were innocent. He broke in without you knowing. But the second time around, you were knowing. You knowingly let him rob you. So whose fault is it now? It's your fault, isn't it? So what happens when you don't forgive, you're continuing to leave the door open for Satan to come and have his way in your life. It's kind of like you saying to the thief, sure, here, have access, have complete access to my house. Take all the goods. And you know what? He's taken all the goods. Because you open the door for him to take all the goods, right? So now it becomes my fault. So why is it that I should forgive? I think we can probably just close our Bibles right now and say we ended here, but I'm not going to do that, by giving you just one reason why you need to forgive. You need to forgive because God says so. Case closed. Stop. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go. Stop right there. Okay, yeah, because God says so. And in fact, Jesus is very clear. Okay, in Matthew 6, a couple of chapters before, it says, if you forgive people their trespasses, okay, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So I forgive because God tells me to forgive. I forgive not only because God tells me to forgive, I forgive because the next verse tells me what happens when I don't do it. The next verse says, but if you do not forgive their trespasses, okay, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So the first reason I forgive because God says so, the second reason I forgive is because I want to receive forgiveness too. Look at the person next to you and say, I want to be forgiven. Now, answer them and I'll say, you know what you need to do? Yeah, you know what you need to do. Okay, and so here's the third reason why we forgive. The third reason why you forgive is because when you don't forgive, the only one that's hurt is you. And you're continuing to be hurt, right? And so you harbor bitterness, okay, and you harbor unforgiveness, and it's like you, we talked about this last week, it's like you drinking poison but wanting the other person to die. Die. Bottle of cyanide. And that's exactly what unforgiveness does. You're hoping bad on the other person when in fact what you're doing is you're poisoning yourself. See, it always hurts you more than it does the other person. See, you may be spitting mad and upset, and it may have affected your psyche, and for all you know, their life is going on as normal as possible. Right? Somebody said that unforgiveness is emotional suicide. Because you're killing yourself little by little. And some of you are in this category right now because you're allowing people from your past to continue to work and live rent-free in your mind. Right? Maybe it's a former spouse. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a teacher. Okay? Maybe it's somebody that made you miserable back then. And here is how you know they're still making you miserable today. And what happens is when you don't forgive from the heart, it affects you. It affects you physically. When you're bitter, you're more predisposed to disease and to sickness. Now, I'm not saying that all sickness and all disease is a direct correlation to bitterness and resentment. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of freedom and there's a lot of health that comes when you choose to forgive. When you choose to forgive, all of a sudden there may be issues in your life that you're healed completely of. Right? You know, David said it this way. He goes, when I held bitterness in my heart, it says my bones waxed dry. Whoa. That's almost like a physical condition. He's saying my body hurt. My bones hurt. It was almost like I felt like arthritis because I was bitter. But when you release people, you release the very source, the very thing, the door that's open for Satan to attack you. You are closing that door to Satan. So now his attacks, whether it's through sickness or disease, are shut on you, are shut. Right? So it affects you physically. It could affect you emotionally. I mean, think for a moment with me when you don't forgive, because what happens is that oftentimes that bitterness is projected on other people. You're angry. Okay, you might be depressed. You might become impatient. You might become hostile. You may turn cynical. You might be sarcastic. It's affecting, it's shaping your psyche. It's affecting your personality. Why? Because you haven't forgiven from the heart. The most miserable people in the world are those that are filled with bitterness and resentment. That basically means that they haven't forgiven. It also affects you relationally. And what I mean by that is that the people that you love around you, they're affected by all these attitudes and these emotions that are part of your moods, that are part of your makeup as your personality, right? So resentment prevents you from receiving intimacy with people because you just become a bitter person. Who wants to get close to a bitter person? Who wants to love someone that's resentful? Who wants to be close to someone that's miserable? And so what are you doing? You've left the door unlocked for the enemy to continue to rob you. And he robs you of your family. And he robs you of the friendships. And he robs you of relationships. The first time you were innocent. But as you continue to not forgive, now it's your fault. You missed a good part for an amen. Right. And so here's the other way it affects me. So it affects me physically, emotionally, it affects me relationally, it affects me spiritually. Here's how it affects me spiritually, because God cannot empower you, okay, while you remain in a state of unforgiveness. I mean, God will use you because he'll use a donkey. Right? But God won't empower you. He won't empower you because why? Because you have the door open and all of a sudden whatever God may attempt to give you, it's going to be snatched by the enemy whose front door you've left open for him to enter by the virtue of you not forgiving, right? So God can't empower you. And then what happens is, we talked about it earlier, what happens is that I have an unholy attachment to the person that offended me. So maybe it was a dad that abandoned me. Or maybe it was an uncle that molested you. And all of a sudden, or maybe it was a gang of teenagers that raped you. Or whatever the case might be, or a guy that stole your business. And all of a sudden you live that memory out, but you're still attached to them. And there's an unholy attachment there because you haven't released them. And not only does that take place, but now you become like them. Because we become like the people that we fixate on. Whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to become like, right? And so you begin to duplicate and you begin to extend, you transfer the offense that you received, the spirit of it begins to be extended to those around you, right? And so that's why we say that not forgiving opens the door to Satan to gain a foothold in your life. It gives him an opening. There was something interesting in the Bible where in the church in Corinth, there was a guy that he was doing some pretty nasty things. There was an incestuous relationship within the church. And Paul encouraged the Corinthians to deal with the sinful man. Now, dealing with the sinful man required discipline, church discipline, but it did not have to do with forgiveness. Okay, they still forgave him, but they had to follow a certain protocol to make sure that he would repent, right? So then he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it looks like the Corinthians were a little confused. They were a little confused about how to forgive. And in 2 Corinthians, he talks about what happened in 1 Corinthians with the guy. And he says, when you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when you forgive him, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us. Now, don't overlook that statement, because that statement is connected to the first statement. He's saying, when you don't forgive, you're letting Satan outsmart you. The topic is forgiving. The topic is forgiving someone that's done something pretty nasty. And what he's basically saying is that if you don't forgive, you're letting Satan have his way. So we do forgive. Why? So that Satan will not have his way with us. So that Satan won't outsmart us. So that the opening into your life that Satan is walking through, that so that door is shut, right? So let's talk a little bit as we get ready to wrap this up. What do you need to know about forgiveness? Change gears a moment here. What do I need to know about forgiveness? First thing that I want you to know, the one thing I could leave with you guys is this, is that forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Choice. Say choice. It's a choice. It's not a feeling, because you know what? When you think about all the ugly things that you've lived, you know what? You may never get to a place where you feel like forgiving. The Bible never says forgive when you feel like it. When you have that feeling, when the lovey-dovey butterflies in your stomach arise. No, it doesn't say any of that. Okay, it says that forgiveness is a choice. And because it's a choice, it's something that you can do. Somebody say, I can do it. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including forgive, right? So I can do it. Now, the other thing about forgiveness is that forgiveness is for your sake, not for the offender's sake. See, no matter what happened to you, no matter what they did to you, okay, you forgive in order to be free from the past, right? So no matter what happened to you, you're not going to be able to change the past. But you forgive. Why? Because it's for your sake, not for the offender's sake. Because you're the one that's going to be free, not them. Now, you're going to leave them in God's hands, and God will judge them accordingly for what they've done, but not doing so is going to affect you more so than it affects them. Now, here's the other point about forgiveness, is that forgiveness, and I've seen this a lot, forgiveness for a lot of people is a God issue more than it is an issue with an offender. What do I mean by that? I mean that people sometimes, not only are they bitter towards what somebody did to them, but they have an indirect bitterness toward God because God let it happen. And all of a sudden there's resentment in their heart because it's a God issue. It's become an issue between them and God. And I think of the story in the book of Ruth. Think of the story of Naomi. Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law. And when Ruth was living with Naomi, Naomi suffered great tragedy. She lost her husband and she lost her two sons, right? And then they came back with her. She came back with her both daughter-in-laws, one of them of which name was Ruth. But when she got back, okay, to her homeland, it says there in verse 20 of Ruth 1, she says to the people that they came to greet her, she says, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Okay, she says, don't call me Naomi, she told him. Instead, call me Mara. For the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. Did you catch that? She blamed God. She changed her name from pleasant to Mara. You know what Mara means? Mara means bitter. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter, because God has made life bitter for me. She says, verse 21, I went away full, but the Lord brought me home empty. Okay, why should you call me pleasant or Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such a great tragedy? She had a problem. What was the problem? She accused God falsely of the mishaps that she lived with. And a lot of people today find forgiveness difficult because they think, God, you could have prevented it, but you didn't, so you're to blame. You're the one that caused it. I was fine. I was full, but now I'm empty. You're the one causing me all this bitterness and all this suffering. So that's why we say that forgiveness, more often than not, it's a God issue, more so than a man issue, right? Here's the second to last thing I want you to know about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process. For many people, it's a process. When Jesus said to Peter, 70 times 7, what was he telling Peter? It's a process. He's saying you may have to, for some events, forgiveness may be just a one-time event. I forgive you, I release you, and that person is off the hook. But sometimes there are some things that you've suffered that are so painful, so hurtful, okay, that's caused you so much suffering that you have to go through the process that whenever you start thinking about that unpleasant memory, I have to release them again. I have to forgive them again. And you keep doing it. How long? 70 times 7. So I released them today. Praise God, I'm free. And now 3 days later, the memory comes and I begin to get this knot in my stomach. No, I choose to forgive them again, right? I choose to forgive them again and again and again until you're completely free. And then what you're going to find is that after a while, that memory is not going to sting you as much. Why? Because you've chosen to forgive. And so forgiveness is not so much an event for us as it is, what, a process. And that means that in your mind and in my mind, forgiveness is costly. What do I mean by costly? Costly, it means that you have to learn to live with the consequences of somebody else's actions, right? But think about this with me for a moment. You're living with those consequences whether you like it or not already. What they've done, they've done. You can't reverse it. You can't improve upon it. You can't change it. So you're already living with the consequences. The real choice is not whether you're going to live with the consequences or not. The real choice here is, are you going to live with the consequences, okay, in the peace and in the freedom of forgiveness, or in the hostility and resentfulness and bitterness of unforgiveness? Those are the two choices, because you're still going to live with the issue, with the consequences of what they've done to you. And, you know, think about what Jesus did for us. What Jesus did for us is he forgave us. And when he forgave us, what did he do? He chose to live with the consequences of what we did to him. So, forgiveness is substitutionary. Okay. He took on himself what we did and what we continue to do. And he says, I release you from that. That's forgiveness, right? So how do you forgive from the heart? Number one, we just talked about it. You got to be able to live with the consequences of people's actions. Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Yeah, there's always exceptions to the rule, but they don't have anything to do with forgiveness. And what I mean by exceptions is that there may be people in your life that involve themselves in criminal activity. Okay, maybe you were molested by an uncle. Do you keep that uncle, do you keep that secret? No, man, you got to blow the whistle on that guy or else he's going to molest your next door neighbor. Now, the fact that you blew the whistle on him, does that mean that you don't forgive him? No, it doesn't mean, it doesn't have anything to do with forgiveness or not forgiveness. I let him off the hook. I release him, but what am I doing is that I'm not going to tolerate that. I'm not going to tolerate child abuse. I'm not going to tolerate being abused, okay, and being, okay, mistreated or being, you know, being a doormat for people. I'm not going to tolerate that. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to treat you in an ill fashion. I'm still going to forgive you. There's people in your life that are highly dysfunctional and highly toxic. in your own bloodline. Right? And so what do you do with people like that? You forgive them. But maybe that means you hold them at bay. Maybe that means that, okay, I'm going to treat them cordially. Okay, I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to give them the mad dog look every time I see them. I'm not going to, no, listen, I'm just going to be cordial, but I'm going to limit my interaction with them. Why? Because these people are not good for me emotionally. They're not good for me, my psyche. They affect me. They want to bring me into their dysfunction. They want to bring me into their drama. They want to bring me into their world, and I'm not going to go into their world. So yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, you're still my brother. You're still my sister. I'll still help you if you need help. But that's it.
Amen, Pastor.
That's it. Right? And so that may be the case. That may be what you need to do with your, you know, with a former spouse. That may be that you need to do that with, you know, with a coworker that did you a lot of harm, or former, BFF. Right? You treat them cordially. You forgive them, but you treat them cordially. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't forgive. It just means you forgive, but that you set up boundaries. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's two other things that I wanted to tell you, and I'm going to end here. You forgive. To forgive means that you need to visit. That you need to visit the core of the hurt. And maybe even the hate that you feel. Because you need to allow God to heal you of that pain. And then the next thing you do is you have to, as we've talked about, I could say forgive the offender, but I think from a word picture standpoint, release makes more sense. So you need to release the offender. Think of what Naomi did. She blamed God, right? Now compare what Naomi did with what Job did. Job suffered the same tragedy as Naomi. In fact, even more so, right? Because Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his property. He even lost his health. In fact, he even lost his friendships. Even though friends were there visiting him, they were there always chiding him and always judging him. Why such evil befell him, and they misunderstood him. And so now he's living not only with the loss, but he's living with the incredible pain of the boils and the disease he has. And now the people that are supposed to be with him are misjudging him. So in a way, he's lost everything. But compare his attitude with Naomi's attitude, because it says in Job 42 that when Job prayed for his friends, God made him prosperous again. Ooh. When Job prayed for those that hurt him, in other words, when Job began to forgive his friends, then all of a sudden he began to prosper. And it says there that God gave him twice as much as he had before. Twice as much. Well, now think about it, and don't let this escape your mind. Okay, what this is telling me is that when you forgive, when I let people off the hook, I'm opening the door in my life for God's blessing. And when I pray for people that despitefully use me, all of a sudden, guess what? My attitude changes toward them. Because you cannot hate someone that you're always praying for. Right? So as Job prayed, he found a place to forgive. And as he found a place to forgive, okay, all of a sudden God began to prosper him. So when I say release the offender, we do what Job did. What did Job do? Job began praying for those that have hurt him. Now, I've said this over the years. We've taught over the years. Some of you might already know this. But this is what I encourage people to do. Especially if you have a lot of issues with forgiveness in your life, and people maybe have given you a lot of, people have hurt you in very terrible ways. What I encourage people to do is, in privacy, you go to your prayer closet, or you go to a room, and you set up a chair. And in that chair, you're going to visualize the person that hurt you. In some cases, it's going to be a lot of people in that chair, right? But then you get a piece of paper, and on the piece of paper, you're going to put three columns. Now, this is important. Because it's got to visit your core. On the first column, you write the name of the person. The name of the offender. Bill. The second column, you're going to write okay, what he actually did, because he spread rumors about me. And then the third column, you're going to write how it made you feel. How it made me feel helpless. It made me feel angry. He made me feel rejected. Okay, so Bill, so I got Bill on the hot seat. And I'm visualizing Bill, okay, and I'm praying before I do this. And what I'm seeing is saying, Bill, I release you. I release you from spreading all the rumors that you spread about me. And you caused me so much pain and so much discomfort. And I've lost friendships because of you. And I've lost job positions because of you. And you did me a lot of damage. But Bill, in the name of Jesus, I release you. And you let him go. That's it. And you do that with the next person. So now it's Mary. Mary, why? Because you slept with my husband. And you made me feel so cheap and so dirty and so helpless and angry. And so you go, this is intense stuff. This is intense. But you go through every person that has hurt you, that you still harbor a little bit of ill will or ill feeling to. And every person that you visualize, you put them on the column. Their name, their offense, how it made you feel. And at the end, and I release you. In Jesus' name, the same way that God forgave me, I forgive you. What are you doing? You're making a verbal declaration. And what's going to happen after you go through that whole list? You know what's going to happen? Some of you are going to cry, you're going to weep, you're going to sob. It's going to become emotionally draining. But at the end of it all, you're going to start seeing God lift you, because all of a sudden your anger is going to dissipate. God's going to give you peace. God's going to give you, start restoring your joy. Okay, God's going to start restoring your life, because forgiveness is one of those issues that has the power to absolutely make us joyful, or if we don't do it, to make us absolutely miserable. You forgive for your sake. You forgive because God forgave you. Let me ask you to stand with me. Let's all stand together, and I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. And it may be that at the end of that conversation with the chair, that you look up to heaven and you say, God, forgive me. Because even though bad things happened to me, I accused you wrongly. I've had this pent up bitterness toward you for not stopping things and for not getting that job, for not giving me a better family and whatever it is. And you say, Lord, forgive me for accusing you falsely. You're going to walk out of that room so free, so strong, so encouraged, that you're going to wonder, how is it that I lived so long without doing this? Believer, it's the toughest thing you'll do, but it's the most freeing thing you'll ever do. Father, I pray for every person that's here today. Some of them, Lord, are here and they have the baggage of hurtful and unpleasant memories. So I pray that you'd forgive them today. Not only do you forgive them, Lord, but I pray that they would, in their hearts, begin to forgive. Forgive those that have caused them so much grief. Lord, as I look out, I see people, and some were raised by just a mom. Some were raised by a grandma. The father was nowhere to be found. And Lord, there's some real pain there. I pray that you free them, Lord. I think of Edmund, Lord, and what he wrote this week on Facebook, how you're freeing him from his attitude towards certain people. I thank you, Father, because there's real breakthroughs taking place. Pray that you would touch him today. Believer, as your eyes are closed, let me ask you, what hurtful memory are you still holding on to? Was it something somebody said or did Could have been very recent, could have been years ago. Would you forgive them in Jesus' name? Forgive them in Jesus' name. I pray that you would free us, Lord, from that bitterness. Free us, Lord, from the resentment. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and He wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust Him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website, www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.